Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with Crystal Kennedy today on Wildcrafting. Welcome, Crystal. How did it all begin?
When my business began or when I began with what?
When you began with finding that the herbal and the healing and the earth as being part of the healing of the human.
That would be probably about the time I was 6 or 7, definitely by the time I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
I had severe arthritis as a child, asthma as a child. Mm-hmm. And the modern medical world wasn't helping. My parents took me to a clinic in Vancouver that was a naturopath, and they brought me back. I had pretty well been given up on.
Hmm. So that was many years ago. Did your family of origin use herbal medicine while you were a child?
Oh, yes. We lived out in the bush. My father was a logger. We always lived in isolation, and we used what was there. Mom always used natural plants. We gathered them every year, dried them, prepared them, and traded the old stock for new stock every year.
Mm-hmm. And did you have some favorite herbs back when you were a child?
The earliest herb that I remember my mother using was yarrow. And my mother had water retention problems. She used to swell up if she got into too much salt. And that was something that she used all the time. It helped her with her urinary problems. We used it for colds. Possibly the next one would be burdock. We used burdock leaves for any cuts or infections, even blood poisoning. It was put on as a poultice. The other one I remember using was the kinnikinick, the leaves and the berries, bear berry, some people call it. And that also was used for kidney infections and urinary problems.
Crystal, when you used the burdock in a poultice, did you learn to do the old chew and spit poultice, or how did your family do it?
My father used to do that because he used it for infections in his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
He always had bad teeth, and he used the burdock. He would chew up leaves and pack it into the infected tooth, and he would get pain relief, and also the infection would heal up.
Wow.
I remember his faces were comical because it was quite bitter.
Yeah. It's first time you're introduced to a chew and spit poultice. It is rather entertaining. When taking herbs from the earth, do you have any special intentions or prayers when you're actually doing the wildcrafting?
I've heard a lot. One of the things when you start walking this path is you encourage a lot of people to share. They automatically begin sharing their experiences. And some of the things I have picked up from listening to others, a lot of it is following my own gut instincts. And the more time I spend alone out in the bush picking, the more in tune to my feelings, perhaps the spirits of the plant, there's a connection there that develops and you start to know how to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is, if I decide, just for an example, if I was going to go pick Devil's Club, when I first decide to pick Devil's Club, in my knowing, I know that I've already sent my spirit to the Devil's Club and began asking permission. So when I first wake up, when I first think of it, when I'm still laying in bed, I've already sent my spirit to communicate with the spirit of the Devil's Club. From that point on, when I prepare myself, I'm aware of it all the way until I actually arrive at the place of picking.
Mm-hmm.
And there, in my understanding, I offer tobacco. I stand, and whatever plant that I'm going to be picking whatever plant first catches my eye. For me, I go there and I talk with the plant and let it know what it is that I plan to do with the plant, mm-hmm. what I would like permission for, essentially what my intentions are, and ask permission. And then I am willing to stand there and wait and enjoy the scenery, enjoy the feel of the sun on me, do whatever I need to do until I know, I just sense that it's okay.
Crystal, do you ever get a no from a plant? Do they ever just say, no, not today, I can't be picked?
Oh, yes. I've found that I can't pick in an area and I can pick in a different area.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily know whether that's because there's been something sprayed on the plant or whether the plants are just struggling to reproduce and survive where they are. I don't know. And I don't really question it. I don't worry about it. It's just not going to happen. So,
no means no, even in the plant world.
And maybe plan on getting something else that day. And then I may find, I've actually had that happen with cedar.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to pick cedar in a place that I knew well and thought that it was more than ready to have me pick again. When I arrived there, I just knew it wasn't the place. So I left tobacco thanking the cedar for what it has done for me. And we went off down the road and found where we ended up picking. Hmm. And it's just a knowing. I don't know how else to describe it. It's just,
that's great.
It feels right.
Yeah. What would you use cedar for, Crystal?
Cedar is one of those multi-use medicine plants.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I use it for primarily is for a smudge. We use it if anybody has difficulties. We get asked sometimes to go and clear homes, so my husband and I. And what happens is if they've talked about having fearful dreams, nightmares, terrors, as you call them,
mm-hmm.
things like that, or having a hard time going to sleep because scared of bad dreams, then we'll definitely use sage, because in the teachings that I've received, both from, actual teachings from the Lakota people and also from out along the coast, various nations, they use it for nighttime and anything to do with sleep and dreams. If you are not having any of those difficulties, you can smudge with cedar and receive stronger dreams, clearer dreams, more dreams of more kind of prophetic guiding dreams. The other thing, though, is cedar is a fantastic tea to use for washing anything that needs disinfecting. It's a great tea for drinking, for lung infections, bronchitis, pneumonia. Certainly when I have asthma troubles, I drink cedar tea, and it helps with my congestion. It keeps me from getting chest infections on top of the asthma.
Mm-hmm.
Good for using the tea. We keep the tea simmering and use it for a steam bath because it's excellent for sinuses.
Do you have a specific time of day that you head out to harvest? Is there a better time of day to get the plants in?
It really depends on the plant itself.
Mm-hmm.
There's some plants that I would never pick once the sun goes down or toward the end of the day. I'm thinking of one in particular that I wasn't familiar with it. It's not a plant that I grew up knowing,
mm-hmm.
and it's called rat root or sweet flag, calamus.
Right.
And we use that rat root in a lot of things. It's especially good for congestions and infections. But it's one of the teachings that the Cree people, who my husband happens to be, that's been shared that the old people said not to pick rat root in the evening. and definitely not once the sun goes down. So it's something that once they are ready to go to sleep, you leave them alone. And consequently, I'm more attentive to that.
Yeah.
I dare say probably I would never pick a route toward the end of the day, just simply because it's related to that now in my mind.
Okay. Now, you said when you do harvest, you're offering tobacco. What is that? What is that exchange there? What's going on there?
A lot of it is to do with doing as my ancestors shared for me to do. The teachings of ancestry all over the world starts to come back when you begin spending time with the plants and recognizing that they're living spirits and they're sharing their healing gifts with you.
Mm-hmm.
So in my own case, I have both European and North American ancestry, and the tobacco is something that's very sacred in North America, and it's traditionally a gift that you give. If I don't have tobacco, I'll give perhaps something else that's precious to me. I'm not a smoker, so the tobacco I have is something that is used specifically for offerings.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes even more precious in that way because it's there for a purpose. Tobacco is a symbolic. It's to show the plant that you're not just greedy and you're not just going to ravage the land and take what you want and walk away like you just have some right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process, and it's part of going slowly, respectfully, and acknowledging them. And by giving a gift, you're not only following in your ancestors' footsteps, but you're also slowing yourself down, taking the time. And I also don't arrive in an area, throw the tobacco down, and move on to picking. I take the time to talk with them.
Mm-hmm. Wow, there's so much that's come intuitively. But who are some of your best mentors in your life that have brought you along this journey?
Primarily, I would say my mom.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is becoming more and more elderly, and as often happens when we start getting into that older years, she's admitting she's forgetting a lot, and it really created a hunger in me to get, you know, like to get time spending time with her and enjoying the learning from her while she still has them memories.
Mm-hmm.
The other is my partner, my husband. He has a lot more knowledge than the average person realizes, and the things that he shares with me, I ask permission before I use them in my business.
Mm-hmm.
We have a tea that we sell, and before I put it on the market, I asked him if it was okay to use it.
Yeah.
And he took his time answering, and he ended up saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the key part with that is to acknowledge who taught you. It's
right.
Not like I'm just so smart that I got all these things myself. You know,
right.
People came and they were willing to share it because they believed in what I was doing.
Crystal, we're going to have to go to a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk more about Wildcraft Nation products.